You ever been an outsider? People are telling a joke and they all laugh and you have no idea what's funny. Sometimes you feel like an outsider. Moving around as much as my family did, I felt like an outsider an awful lot. I was born in California, lived in California different times in my life. But to native Californians, would you believe they treated me as an outsider? You know why? I left the state. For native Californians, there's no other place to live. Why would you leave such a good place? I lived in Texas for a while. I was an outsider because I wasn't born in Texas. I wasn't a native of Texas. And the fact that, you know, I was only in Texas for a short time proved I was an outsider because I left Texas. When I lived in Louisiana, I didn't talk with the Cajun accent and all of that. And therefore, I was an outsider. I lived there almost 4 years, and then we moved to Kansas. And in Kansas, I was an outsider because within 4 years of living in Louisiana, I picked up part of the accent. Not all of it. I wasn't an insider. But I got to Kansas, and I was an outsider because I sound like I wasn't from here. An outsider. The woman is a Canaanite. She's female. She has a double whammy, according to the Jewish perspective, as an outsider. The Canaanites are descendants of Ham, Noah's son. It tells us about how that nation will rise up. The name applied to the people that lived along the coastline. If you have Jerusalem over here and you go up northwest, Tyre and Sidon are kind of in the coastal valley and over there, and soon that whole region of that area was called the Canaanites. People eventually got assimilated. And whether they were actually bloodline descendants of Ham, that didn't matter. Soon it just got applied to everyone. Gwen and I have lived here. Coming up September 3rd, it will be 17 years. Okay? So, I'm not a native to Tennessee. I'm an outsider. But if I go anywhere, and I don't think I have an accent, people start laughing when I talk because I sound Southern to them. Now, I don't sound Southern to you. I get it. But they don't know better. This woman was a Canaanite. The Canaanites were idolatrous, famous for their idolatry, if you will. And so what happens is she is, by nationality, by culture, society, she is a non-believer by label. And she is not of the lines of Israel and Judah and all those people. They have been labeled disconnected as they are now Canaanites. And the woman cries out to Jesus. It's interesting, right before this, Jesus teaches his disciples about what defiles a person. Because the Pharisees were asking questions and bragging about washing their hands before they went and ate, you know. And Jesus had to teach the disciples that it's not what goes into a person, it's what comes out of them, out of the heart. That's what defiles. So now, in a short period of time, this Canaanite woman comes up, and it's out of her heart that Jesus identifies her as a believer. It's not what went into her. It's not her society. It's not her genealogy. It's not all of that. It's her faith that brings her inside the arms of God's grace. It's her faith that brings her to trust her Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And he hasn't gone to the cross and he hasn't risen yet. But all the prophecies were pointed to the Messiah. And when she called him the Son of David, that was a title for the Messiah. The disciples, seeing her as an outsider, basically said, you know, do the healing and get rid of her. Get her out of here, you know, so that she can be gone. And Jesus says, I came to the house of Israel. And that is true. The Bible tells us that Jesus first came to the Jews, then the Gentiles. And in the second reading for today, you heard how the gospel, when it was rejected by the Jews, it went to the Gentiles. And part of that was, as the Gentiles had it, it made the Jews jealous. So it's sort of like they said, no, I don't want that. And then they saw what the Gentiles had and said, boy, that looks good. Have your sins forgiven? To have hope restored? To have the promise of eternal life? That was attractive to them. And so here this woman's an outsider, and she becomes an insider. All by the gift of God and faith. Our world right now is doing a lot of labels, isn't it? Outsider, insider. Whether it's a label of a political party, or whether it's a label of ethnic groups, whether it's a label according to skin color, or where you live in the United States or on the planet Earth, there's a lot of labels right now, and they are divisive. We are reminded in today's lesson that Christ came for the world. We are reminded that Christ died for all. We are reminded that we are all beggars, looking to be part of the inside, that is, embraced in God's arms of love and mercy. None of us deserve to be insiders. It's not our doing, it's not of our creation, but it is the call of God. We have no idea how this Canaanite woman heard the gospel, but the fact that she heard it is proven in her words to Jesus. Lord, Son of David, have mercy. I think our mission in life is not based on skin color or accent or dialect. Our mission in life is from the inside, is to proclaim Jesus as Lord, to proclaim, Lord, have mercy on us. To recognize by lifestyle that all the things of the world, all the money in the world, are not going to give me life and peace and salvation. But one crumb from the Master's table, one little bit, is sufficient. If anything, in our culture, we hoard a lot, don't we? We're pack rats. You know, in the years I've been here, I can't tell you how many times we've cleaned out that fellowship hall closet. And how many trash cans we filled with the stuff that, well, we might need this. And I understand that. But I think the reminder is, spiritually, we do not have to act like we're starving. Spiritually, we do not have to live as if we're empty. Spiritually, we do not need to be afraid there's not enough for tomorrow. For one crumb from Christ, one word, is sufficient for the day. One word of hope, one word of forgiveness, one word of his teaching, one word of wisdom, one crumb is enough. We never heard what happened to this woman. That story is untold. But maybe that's not the point. The point is that she believed. And her daughter was healed. And I imagine her heart was made whole in Christ. Your story's not finished. that's not the point. Today you too are forgiven. Today you have been spiritually renewed and made whole. Today you have been proclaimed alive in Christ by your confession. Today your hope is restored and your walk with Christ is strengthened. The rest of the sermon is you. It's not how you live as an outsider, but how you live and proclaim what it means to be inside the arms of God's grace. And with that mission, go in peace. Amen.